We're on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. We can count up about 7 lines up from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines. For Rami, Rabbi Yehuda, Ad Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to ask Akasha from Rabbi Yehuda's position formulated in our Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda's position in a Braisa. For Rami, Rabbanon, Ad Rabbanon. We'll likewise present a problematic contradiction between the Rabbanon in our Mishnah and the Rabbanon in a Braisa. The Sanya, we have a Braisa, Yeser al Kain, Om Rabbi Yehuda Mishayolo Shnei Batim, Mishnei Tzidei Rishus Arabim, Osolo Lechi Mikan, Velechi Mikan, Okoro Mikan, Okoro Mikan. Meaning that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you have two houses that are situated on two sides of a highway, and the facade of each house is a mechitza, so the area across between the two houses is separated from the rest of Rishus Rabbim by two mechitzos. That's enough, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to reduce it from the status of a Rishus Rabbim to that of a Rishus HaYochid. So that area in between the two batim is now a Rishus HaYochid. The Rabbanan are not going to allow you to carry from one house to the other until you do a Lechi Mikan, a Lechi Mikan, or alternatively a Kor Mikan, Kor Mikan. And that's going to be a tikkun to be matir, carrying from one house to the other, literally through Rishus HaRabim. And it's all based on the underlying premise that you can create a Rishus HaYochid Doraisa with two mechitzos alone. And therefore, nosei v'nosein ba'emtza, and you can carry straight across from one house to the other because it's all a Rishus HaYochid. Now, by setting up a lechi on one side and a lechi on the other side, or a korah and a korah, what you do is you basically close off that area in between the two batim that is part of the highway, and we view it as if you added another two mechitzos to this area. And that's called a stima. Stima meaning it's closing off the two sides of the Rishus HaRabim. Again, all this, of course, is imaginary. I mean, there's no actual stima, but that's sufficient according to Rabbi Yehuda. Omru lo, so the Chachamim said in counter-argument to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein ma'arvin Rishus HaRabim b'kach, that we're not going to allow an Eruv over Rishus HaRabim. So we have now a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim as to whether or not the Derech Rabim, that the people traveling on this highway, on this road, and they go through splitting the area between the two batim, is that Mevatel l'mechitza? Rabbi Yehuda is not impressed by the fact that Rabim over him, Bein Shnei Abatim. That's not going to be Mevatel l'mechitza of the Lechi and the Korah. Chachamim, on the other hand, hold that the Hiluch Rabim is going to be Mevatel l'mechitza. Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha de Rabbanan, de Rabbanan. Now we have a double stira. We have a stira between Rabbi Yehuda's position in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda here in our Mishnah says that we have to be Mesalik the Rabim. We're not going to let the Rabim go through the Bein HaPasim. We have to give them an alternative road, because otherwise the Hiluch Rabim would be Mevatel l'mechitzos. But the Braisa holds that you can set up a Lechi Mikan, Lechi Mikan, Kor Mikan, Kor Mikan, and the Rosh Hashanah Rabim is going right through the Hiluch Rabim, right straight through, and it's not Mevatel l'mechitza. And Kasha Rabbanon the Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon in our Mishnah hold that you don't have to divert the traffic, and redirect it around the Bein HaPasim, let him go straight through the Bein HaPasim, because Hilukram Eino Mevato Mechitza. But in this case of the Braisa, where you have a Rishis Ram between the two houses, the Rabbanan say, what's going on over here? How can you make an Eruv when the people are going right through the highway? So the answer is, the Rabbi Yehuda Lokasha, that's not a Stira, Hasam. In the case of Shnei Batim, Rabbi Yehuda is going to maintain that Ein Rabbi Mevatlin as a Mechitza. Why? To Ika Shtei Mechitzas Ma'al Yisa. At least you begin with two Mechitzos that are regular, complete Mechitzos, right? Which we said are the facades of the two houses on both sides. And unlike, you know, Pasi Biros, where the whole institution is without any mechitzos, really, right? I mean, any real mechitzos. So when we start with two mechitzos, ma'al yisah, which according to Rabbi Yehuda is enough to set up a rishus hayochad doraisa, all you need is a hekif of shtei mechitzos, one against the other, and you've already produced a rishus hayochid. Okay, now we have a din that with regard to rishus hayochid is ein rabim Mevatlin Mechitza. But Hacha, in the case of Pasi Biros, Deleka Shtei Mechitzas Malia, so you don't have any Mechitzas that are really valid Mechitzas, so the whole thing is an imaginary Mechitza. Here Rabbi Yehuda says that Hiluch Rabim is Mevatlin Mechitzas. Drabona, Nami Lokasha, Hacha, and our Mishnah, the Chachamim hold that we're not impressed by Hiluch Rabim, it's not Mevatel Mechitzos. Why? Even though these Pasim are not really Mechitzos Gemuros, but Ika, Shem, Arba Mechitzos. Shem meaning a halachic legal entity of four Mechitzos. Because you've separated this area in front of the well and surrounded it on all four sides. And there's a Shem Mechitza, meaning a legal, conceptual Mechitza, on all four sides. Ah, if you have a Mechitza that surrounds this area on all four sides, then the Rabbana are going to maintain that Ein Hiluch Rabim Mevatla Mechitza. So we don't have to redirect the traffic around the Bein HaPasim. Avol Hacha, but here in the case we have two houses on two sides of Rishus Rabim, Leka Shem Arba Mechitzos. You may have a Lechin Akora, but you certainly don't have Mechitzos. You know, in the case of Pasi Biros, each Pas has the dimensions of a Mechitza. But here, what do you have? You have a Lechi, you have a Kora, that doesn't set up Mechitzos. Here in this case, Asi Rabim Lemechitzos. Now, once the Gemara had mentioned earlier, if you recall, Rabbi Yochanan's statement about Yerushalayim, that the reason why Yerushalayim is not called the Rishus HaRabim is because they lock the doors at night. So the Gemara now goes off on a little bit of a digression and quotes another statement of Rabbi Yochanan about other places and why they're not Rishus HaRav. Om Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef, Om Rabbi Yochanan. Eretz Yisrael ein chayovin olea mishum Rishus HaRav. In other words, if you carry in Eretz Yisrael, we'll see what that means, then you don't violate the Issa Tiltol of Arba Amos Rishus HaRav. What does that mean? Yosef Ravdimi heard this, v'ka'omalu l'shmaita, and they told him this statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Eretz Yisrael, you're not chai for Rishus HaRabim. Omalei Abai l'Rabbi Yossi, so Abai asks Ravdimi, my timer. Well, what's the logic that underlies this fantastical statement of Rabbi Yochanan? And here we turn to Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis. Elema, if you're going to tell me that the reason why there's no Rishus HaRabim in Eretz Yisrael is Mishum de Makif La Sulma de Tzar Bechad Gisa Umachtena de Gader mehach kisa. So we're going to say the following, that Eretz Yisrael is surrounded on all sides by one of two things, either mountains or valleys or bodies of water. So for example, in one area of Eretz Yisrael, you've got a very tall mountain called Sulma de Tsar. Okay, that's up in the north, like the Golan Heights, we'll call it. And it's what you call Zakuf Kisela. Zakuf Kisela means it's like a straight up slope, like a 90 degree angle, that's erect, and it sets up a gigantic mechitza, meaning that part of Eretz Yisrael is certainly enclosed by a natural mechitza. Okay, I'll come back to this in just a moment. There's a discussion here about Rashi, how he interprets this Gemara. But on the other side, we have Machtana de Gader. We have like valleys, which are called Charitzim. You remember the word Charitz that we had when we defined a Rosh Hashayachid? There's something called a Charitz, which is 10 Tvachim deep. And that area where you have these valleys, that's called Gader. That's the name of the place called Gader. Again, we're going to have to decide where this is, but let's hold off on that. And Mehachisa, so on that other side of Eretz Yisrael, you have a different kind of a mechitza, not a mountain mechitza, but a sort of a subterranean mechitza. So the Gemara says that if that's what Rabbi Yochanan had in mind, is Bavel Nami. He didn't have to stretch his arm out to Eretz Yisrael, because Bavel is also surrounded by what? Makifle Pras Mehach Yisa, right, the Euphrates River on this side. And there's another river called Diglas Mehai Gisa. And that's called the Nar Chidekel, is another name for this Diglas. I guess Diglas is the Aramaic word and Dekel is the Hebrew word. And that's on the other side. And then you have a Shipua, you have an incline that goes from the shore. I'm looking for the English for Sfasanor, the end of the water, and it goes down, and that's a mechitza. You remember we discussed this once when we spoke about a person who has a chotzer, and he borders on the river. So we said that there's a certain distance in which the ground is elevated above the water. So that ground that's elevated above the water, if it has 10 tfachim, then that serves as a mechitza. The Gemara goes a step further. The Kuliyama Nami, the whole globe is surrounded by water, and therefore it's surrounded by mechitzas. Shemakif Oso Yam Okainus. Now, Okainus, there are different interpretations, but let's assume Okainus is the oceans that go all the way around the world. All the landmass on the globe is encircled by water, by oceans. And if that be the case, then you have mechitzas on all sides, because whenever the ocean meets up with the landmass, there's going to be what we call a shipua shel sfas hanor, and that's going to be a mechitza. Now, before we get into this whole discussion of this sugya, I just want to point out historically that Manhattan was a big issue back in the day, up until Rav Moshe Feinstein. And there are those who wanted to allow carrying in Manhattan because it's an island, it's surrounded by water on all sides. And the Gemara, in fact, uses that svara that through mechitzos that are created by the water, by the bodies of water, if they circle the entire landmass, then you have a Rishus HaYochid. Again, the Gemara rejects it because if that be the case, then maybe we could argue that the whole earth is all the dry land in on the earth is Rishus HaYochid. But in the case of Manhattan, that argument doesn't, pardon the expression, doesn't hold water.
until Rav Moshe Feinstein probably put an end to this whole machlokas. And you know, today if somebody would argue you're allowed to carry in Manhattan, they'd put him chutz l'machta probably, you know. My shver, may rest in peace, wouldn't even allow me, because see, my in-laws live in Yerushalayim, in Manhattan. So when I would come to visit on Shabbos, he wouldn't even allow me to wear my glasses, my eyeglasses. There's a whole issue about whether eyeglasses is carrying or not. You know, it might fall off, you might pick it up, this and that. So that's how far he went. Because Manhattan doesn't have an air.
They have the same issue in Venice.
So now, let's talk about Sulma Ditzar. That was the first indication that Eretz Yisrael has a mountain range that sets up a mechitza. And Rashi writes, what is Sulma Ditzar? Sela Har Gavoa Shenimtza Sviv LeEretz Yisrael. So there's a mountain range that surrounds Eretz Yisrael. Ubo Olim Li Eretz Yisrael. And you climb up these mountains to reach Eretz Yisrael. V'hoya Gavoa Asara Tfachim. So this gigantic sela, this har, this mountain is so tall, and it borders on the landmass of Eretz Yisrael. It's sort of like a natural border. And it is at least 10 tfachim high. I assume Rashi means that even if at certain points you realize that at the foot of the mountain, you know, there are smaller stones or whatever. But even the smallest of stones in that mountain is 10 tfachim high. And Tzur, according to Rashi, is Miloshen Sela. So the word Tzur, which we have in our Gemara, is a Sela. Sela is a boulder. However, apparently, and this is a presentation of the Kafta of a Ferach, I'll tell you exactly who he was in a minute, but he writes that from many, many other different comments of Rashi elsewhere, it becomes clear that Sulma Ditzur is not a mountain, but rather it's a derech. It's a highway. Sheba holchim le'ir tzar. Right, so we have the city of Tzar up in, today it's Lebanon, wherever it is in the north, and there was a highway that took you up to Tzar. And that's called Sulma Ditzur. So the word sulam means like a ladder. When you have a highway that goes climbing up that ladder, that derech, the highway itself is called Sulama, and in this case Sulma Ditzar. Shahoisa derech ola bahar, vizeh shahoyezokuf mi od, and this aliyah, you know, this climb is very, very steep. I remember once upon a time we spent a summer or 2 weeks in the summer with our family in a place called Alpe d'Huez. I don't know if you heard of it. It's like in the Alps. So in order to get up to the top of Alpe d'Huez, you have to climb 26 different climbs. I mean, all over Europe you have things like that. It's very interesting because when you look out at the car, you know, you can get really scared. You know. Anyway. So this aliyah, this derech that climbed up to Tzar, was zakuf mi'od, u'mishum kach hoisa haderech tzara ma'od. It was a very narrow pathway. V'nikre sulam, and it's called a ladder, mishum shahoisa tzara uzkufa mi'od. Right, a ladder is generally speaking quite narrow, and it's very, very tall, you know, it's a sharp 90 degree angle going tall. And Sulma Ditzar is Al Sfas Hayom, and this highway, you know, this ladder that climbs up to Tzur is on the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. al svas hayom, right? So it climbs up on the shore, right? So you have the water, let's say the Mediterranean on your left, and you climb up north, and you reach Tsar. This is the way the Kafta of Eferach understood it. Now, who is the Kafta of Eferach? His name was Farchi. That's why he used the term for his book. He called it Kafta of Eferach, which has to do with the Mishkan. Now, if you know any Sfaradim, especially what we call Chalabim, you know, the Syrians, with the name Farchi, it's quite a common name, they are probably descendants of the Kafta of Eferach. And he wrote a classic work on the laws that apply specifically to Eretz Yisrael, namely Zeroyim, the agricultural laws. And for many, many centuries, you know, you couldn't learn Zeroyim without the Kafta of Eferach. It has to be, like, right next to you. And in his studies, he goes through the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. So he really did that, you know, the groundwork. I don't know if I have a copy of the Kafta of Eferach. Maybe I do. Now, this discussion about Sulma de Tsar reminds us of a sugya called Tel HaMislaket. And basically a Tel HaMislaket is when you have a mound or a hill and it has a very sharp incline. It's like within like 2 or 3 amos, you're already climbing up to the tenth tefach high. You know, this, and that's considered Rishus HaYochid. Now the Kafta of Eferach goes on and he discusses Machtona de Goder. And he writes the following: Goder, hu makom bekotza hatzvoni mizrachi shel Eretz Yisrael. So until now, we were on the west. Now we're moving towards the east. And Gader, this place called Gader, Nimtzeis Beharim, it's in the mountains, on the northern eastern side of Eretz Yisrael. The Imtirza Loredes Mi Gader, if you want to go down from this mountain range, down to the flat plains, Tered El Bikas Hamayim Hachamim, Uponeha Liam HaKineret. So the Kineret is now situated a little bit towards the east, and when you come down from Goder, down this whole climb, you will end up in a Bikas Mayim Chamim, in a somehow a ravine that has in it hot water, hot springs, and ultimately you'll find yourself at Yam Kineret. He Bika Amuka, and this ravine, I guess you call it, this is very deep. And he says that Hayarmoch Nichnas Litocha Lidroma Min HaMizrach Uba Min HaGolan Bein HaRim. Alright, now it's already beyond me. I mean, it's like 10 different descriptions here of exactly the topography of the land of Israel here. So if anybody wants to go through this and give us a, maybe Don, you want to give us a lecture on this, I lost it. I mean, he goes on and on and on here, describing all the details and the different shapes and sizes of the ground, and the brechos, and the waters, and the hot waters, and the there's in the north, and the bika in the south, and this is way beyond me. But the bottom line is that there's some sort of a river that goes through this bika, through this valleyway, and this is a chritz, shemakif u'meshamish kemechitza li'eretz Yisrael. As we said before, there are two types of mechitzas. There's the mountains, and then there are the the lower, I think you call it ravines, if I remember from my English, but be that as it may, the gadir here is not, the emphasis here is not on the mountain range as much as when you go down the mountain range and what the topography of Eretz Yisrael is like when you get down to the bottom of this gadir and you go through all these different deep bikkos. And I guess each bikkur has its own autonomy. All right, nobody got that joke, but anyway. So the Gemara goes on to say that let's talk about Bavel. And to some extent, we can compare Bavel to Eretz Yisrael because it is surrounded also by these different waterways. You have Nahar Pras, Nahar Chidekel, and you've got it on the sides. He writes in the name of the Ritva that Pras and Chidekel are makifim es bavel mishnei tzadim zeitzel ze. Now he has another issue here, which Rashi touches on and the Ritva, and that is that we are now studying a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, but we have to read carefully that Rabbi Yochanan says, Eretz Yisrael ain't chayav alev mishum reshus harabim, which would mean that on a biblical level, you have not violated a malacha of tiltul arba amas reshus harabim in Eretz Yisrael. Aval bevadai osel letaltul ba midrabanan. Shadayin Eretz Yisrael Karmelisi. So although Rabbi Yochanan removes the status of Rishus HaYochid with regard to Eretz Yisrael, he didn't mean to say that therefore you can carry it is a Karmelis. Eretz Yisrael is a Karmelis. Why? Because it's Yoser Mibeis HaSayim. It's larger than the area which we spoke about, 5,000 square amos. And it's lo hukaf lidira, right? We're not talking about those areas which are residential. That's already a Rishus HaYochid Gomor. We're talking about the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And those are, you know, mountain ranges and parks and open areas and whatnot, which are not residential. And those have the status of a Karmelis. Because they have these two conditions. It's Yosem Ibeis HaSayim, and it's Lo Hukaf Ludir. Aval Midaraisa, Ein Rishus HaRabim, it's only a Karmelis, the Rabbanim V'Ein Chayovenel, and that's Rabbi Yochanan's point. So the Ritva writes the following, Hatam She'ein Eretz Yisrael Nachshevet Rishus HaRabim Af She'ein Shavel Shtei Machitzos. Right, the Gemara only talks about the mountain range on the north, which is called Sulma Ditzar, and all those ravines on the that go from the northeast downwards. So he's got on two sides. Humishum sheshtei machitza shel Sulma Ditzar umachtona de gader omdo zu etzel zu zu betzofam vezu bemizrach. I guess he's imagining like a 90-degree, you know, kind of an upside down L shape that goes from the north, that range of mountains on the north, and then travels down on the eastern side. V'shtei mechitzel sha'omdo zu ezu osos esmashe b'neim reshus ha'yochid. I'm a little confused here because are we assuming that Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that all you need is two mechitzas? I don't know. Not sure, but that's what the Ritva seems to be assuming. Ubederech emuna bier shahayadua etzlam she'eretz Yisrael mukefes biyam mitzad echad. That's the Mediterranean. Ubiardain and the Jordan River mitzad sheni. Rak, So I'm not exactly sure what he means, but I have a feeling that he means that on the south, we don't have a body of water. We don't have, it's a little bit difficult. I don't know where the southern border is, but let's say maybe if you go as south as Be'er Sheva, I don't know. There's a whole question about south of Be'er Sheva, but let's say that for argument's sake, just theoretically, that Be'er Sheva would be the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael, so we don't have a waterway, and we don't have a ravine, and we don't have a mountain range, no Bika, no Harim, so it could be that we have three Mechitzos, because the two mountain ranges on the north will cover that Mechitza, set up there, and then you have on the going down Eretz Yisrael, on the western and on the eastern side, you have two bodies of water. So you have Eretz Yisrael being surrounded by three mechitzos. So I think if again I'm reading a lot into this, I don't know if this is correct, but that the Derech Hamuna wants to add beyond the Ritva. The Ritva seems to be assuming that you have a mechitza on the north and a mechitza on the east. And that means that Eretz Yisrael is Rishus HaYochid because it has two mechitzos. So I think the Derech Emuna, you've all heard of him, Rav Chaim Kanevsky Shlita, he wants to add a third mechitza by setting up the two waterways. So the it was known to the Gemara didn't even have to spell this out, that Eretz Yisrael has two mechitzos. But the question is, where do we get the third mechitza to set up Eretz Yisrael as Rishus HaYochid? And that's the Gemara's answer here, of Sulma de Tsar Mechad Gisa and Machtona de Gada Mechach Gisa, meaning on the north, we have Sulma de Tsar on the western side. And going a little bit towards the east, we have Machtona de Gader. So we've covered the north, and then we have the two bodies of water on the east, on the west and on the east. Again, I don't know. I'm just trying to surmise what the Derech Hamuna has in mind here. So the Gemara says that Bavel also has these mechitzos because, as we said before, there's something called the Shipua Sfas HaNahar, that whenever you have a body of water, there's always going to be a, you know, the water is, what word would I use here? Suppressed, I don't know if there's such a word, depressed, below the, you know, the height of the shore, of the landmass. And that's going to set up a mechitza. And then we could go around the entire world, the whole globe. Shemakif oso yam okainus mikol stodov. So he has one sea, which is called okainus, and that surrounds all the landmass. Let me just see. I have the English translation. You have it also. How does he translate Okainus? I'm just curious. Let's see if I can get the page here. What page are we up to? Chav Beis Amid Beis. He translates Okainus as the ocean. Interesting. He doesn't give it a name. It's not the Indian Ocean. It's not the Atlantic, the Pacific. He calls it the ocean. Let's just see as a footnote here. My lighting here has really not been treating me well lately, but the Gemara refers to all the world's oceans and connected bodies of water as the ocean. The banks of the ocean have the required slope and height to be considered legal partitions, meaning mechitzos. Therefore, by this logic, every landmass is Rishus HaYochid. Not bad. I think we could have written the text here. He uses the word height, which I understand, and he uses the word slope. He doesn't tell you the details, but I think the details, if we can fit them in, is that the landmass is higher than the body of water. So that forms a mechitza of 10 tvachim. What's the answer to this argument? I mean, this is a very compelling argument. If the entire landmass in the earth is surrounded by this great ocean, all these waterways that seem to have a slope and a height that creates a rishus hayachid. He says, Ella, I'm reading the beer here, Vadai mechitzos elu einon machshivos es hamakom shebifnim kirshus hayachid. We have no choice but to be compelled to maintain the conclusion that these mechitzos could not set up a rishus hayachid. So far he doesn't tell you why. V'im kein, if that be the case, then we're back perplexed with Rabbi Yochanan. Ein ono mevinim dvarv shel Rabbi Yochanan, madua ein rishus harabim le'eretz Yisrael. And right now, at this point, you know, the Gemara is just proving that these kinds of natural mechitzos could not serve as generating a rishus hayachid status, and therefore we're perplexed, what do we do with Rabbi Yochanan? So before we get to answer that question, let's just see. Bagamara lo mevur madua be'emes mechitzos elu einan osos es kol ha'olam es kol bavel v'kol eretz Yisrael shu sayoch kosu ha'tosus. So he says that the top tosus here addresses this question. Hatamu mishum shehiluch rabim mevatel mechitzos elu. Wait a second. That's not fair. Hiluch rabim mevatel mechitzos. And we just finished saying that according to the Chachamim, like in the case of Pasi Baros, there's no need to divert the people because Hiluch Rabim is not Mevatel Mechitza. Correct? Except for the case where you only have two Mechitzas. But here, so I don't know. This depends on what we discussed earlier. How many Mechitzas you have? Let's just see. Kosu Atosvis. Sha'af chachomim hasovrim shehiluch rabim eino mevatel mechitza modim heim shemechitzos elu kevon she'en asuyos bidei adam. Ooh, that's exciting. So there's a difference between a natural mechitza and a man-made mechitza. Eino mechitzos chashuvos kol kach ubetelim heim behiluch Rabim, which sounds awfully similar to the logic of Rabbi Yehuda. You remember Rabbi Yehuda said that in Pasi Biros we have to divert the Rabim, otherwise they'll be Mevatel the Mechitza, and he said because we don't have Mechitzos Gemuros. Am I right? Then in the case of the two batim on Tutsi, the Rishus Haram, we had Shtei Mechitzas Ma'al Yisa. But Hocha, Leka Mechitzas Ma'al Yisa. So if we assume that natural Mechitzos are second-class Mechitzos, meaning they're not Mechitzas Ma'alios, then in Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference, that justifies the halacha of Asi Rabin, Behiluch Rabin, Vatli Mechitza. You know, it reminds me of the sugi that we had of Shasi and Orev. You remember we had those second-rate mechitzos, which were all built, based on Lavud and all that stuff. So Tosus is saying that here, in the case of natural mechitzos, even the Rabbanon will agree that since they're not man-made, they're not mechitzos chashuvos. Again, before we had a different term. They're not mechitzos ma'alios, but I guess ma'alios could be chashuvos. And therefore, hiluch rabim is mevatel lemechitza. What's amazing to me is that the halacha is classifying mechitzos, and we've seen it over and over again throughout the Masechta. I don't know why, you know the phrase she's either pregnant or she's not pregnant. You know, either it's a mechitza or it's not a mechitza. You've got to be a briska lamed in here to figure out that there are different dimensions and different categories of mechitzos. And then afkamina is going to be, as far as we're concerned, whether hiluch rabim is mevatel mechitzos. I don't know. Do you recall we had a sugya called mechitza tluya? Remember we spoke about a person on a boat and he wants to draw water from the ocean. So he sets up what we call the mechitza tluya. We spoke about ruins, you know, a churva that has, you know, part of a wall left over from the old ruins, but it doesn't go all the way down to the ground. And we had a halacha called Gideon Bokimbo. Right, if it's up to three tvachim, then the little young goats will go through them, and therefore we don't want to rely on a mechitza tluya. We even had a discussion where the fish, you know, have the same status as these young goats, and you know, in the case of the ship, we're seeing over and over again that there are like two dimensions of mechitza. There's one, you know, nitty gritty, naked, you know, basic requirement of what constitutes a halachic mechitza, and then there's kind of like the reality of the mechitza, that the area is closed off, or that the naked eye sees the mechitza and recognizes it as a mechitza, which are concepts that we had in the first parak, if you remember, with, you know, with regard to, you know, where you situate the lechi and korah and things of like that, so that it has to be nikar la'ayin. What can I say? You know, there are gradations of mechitzas. Not all mechitzas were created equal. That's the bottom line. That's Tosis. Amal Aramban v'aritva biru she'enon nechshavos mechitzos mishum she'em rechokos harbe zu mizu. So the issue here is not that it's a natural mechitza, that's not the problem, but the issue is that the mechitzos don't join together. It's not a perfect L, if you remember. Ubiru shekol she'ein ha'omed ala mechitzos roes ha'mechitzos. If you stand on the mechitzos and you don't see the mechitzos, einom nechshavos mechitzos. Again, a similar concept here, that what's obvious to the naked eye? I don't know, he seems to be combining apples and oranges. See, I don't know, A plus B. He starts the discussion by saying that the mechitzos are a chokos zumizu, which I thought meant that they don't touch each other. But then he goes on a different tangent, and he says that ha'omed ala ha'omed. Wait, let me read it again. Ha'omed bein ha'mechitzos eino roe es ha'mechitzos umakir b'hem. Ah, if he stands in between the mechitzos. Now, again, if you're in a mountain range and you stand in the valley between the two mechitzos, two mountains, I'm sure you could see both mountains. That's why I think he's talking about the northeastern corner over there, that the, you know, the Bikar goes down from Gadar, as we saw before, the Kafta Mefech, and that you have the mountain range near Lebanon on the north, and maybe if you're standing in one place, you don't see the mechitza on the other. There's such distances between the two of them. I don't know. He writes, Ure'ei bebir alocha, shiratzalom v'das ha-ramban, shedvav nemru g'rak b'mechitza sh'onasu v'dei odom, kigon horim u'gvos. Avol mechitza sh'onasu b'dei odom, afim hein rechokos, Zemize Yosem Ashir Shakosam Ramban, a Mokum Shabi name Hurishus Hayoch. The Bir Aloch wants to add another element into the equation, and that is whether it's man-made or natural. So he's sort of like combining Tosus with the Ramban. Kosva Tosus, Shayyachol Lahakshos Abayler Avdimi, Shlo Yitochen Sha'omer Rav Yochanan Shekol Eretz Yisrael Ein Chayovin Ale Mishum Shesaravim Sharei Rav Yochanan Atzmo Amali El She Yushalayim Ilu Lo Hoyo Dalsos Nuulos Balayla Chayovin Ale Mishum Shesaravim. Gevaldig Akasha. How could Rav Yochanan maintain that there's no Rishus HaYochid in Eretz Yisrael? He himself said that the reason why Yushalayim is not a Rishus Rabbim is because they keep the doors locked at night. If they hadn't done so, or in those periods of history that they did not do so, it would be a Rishus Rabbim. But it's in Eretz Yisrael. The Kosvu Sheyesh Lomar Shedivir Rabbi Yochanan Li El Nemu V'Das Rabbi Yehuda Shesova Sheiluch Rabbim Mevato Mechitzos Ulashitoso Hiluch Rabim Mevatel Esamachitzel Shesoviv Eretz Yisrael V'Shayach Sheyesh Amr Shesaravim Diver Rabbi Yochanan Kan Nemu V'Das Chachomim Asovim Shehiluch Rabim Eino Mevatel Mechitzel Shel Shitosam Ein Rishus Rabim Eretz Yisrael. Wow. Tosus is really working hard here to reconcile these various statements of Rabbi Yochanan. Alright, let's see if we can make a little progress. We don't have that much time, so let's see. So now, Abaye, now let's just get the name straight. Who's talking here? Oh, Abaye is talking to Rav Dimi. And now he adds the following. Dilma Malos umarados ka'amrit. Perhaps what Rabbi Yochanan and you quoted had in mind is the alios and the aridos that are in Eretz Yisrael. Ein chayovin ale mishum rishus harabin. Hainu af Imhem Rechovim Sheshes Re Amos Rabim Ovrim Shom. I'm going to take a stab at it. I think what he means is that let's recalculate the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan did not mean that all of Eretz Yisrael from top to bottom is not a Rishus HaRabim. What he meant is that there's certain areas in Eretz Yisrael where there are Milos Umarados. So I guess in a concentrated area you have these mountains and these valleys right near each other. And any area between the mountains and the valleys will not be Rishus HaRabim because you've got mountains and you've got valleys. So you've got Mechitzos. Let's just see if he adds anything here. He says, perhaps you're referring only to the ascents and descents, i.e., the steeply inclined areas of the land of Israel, whose steep slopes make them difficult to traverse. I guess he's talking about Hiluch Rabim. In other words, it's not. Remember, we said many times that for Rishus HaRabim you need what's called Nicha Tashmishta. You know, it's pleasant and it's easily accessible. But here, because of the slopes that are so steep, it's difficult to traverse. Therefore, the roads running up and down these slopes are not classified as Rishus HaRabim. He says that the Gemara is going to explain this. However, other public thoroughfares in the land of Israel are treated as Rishus HaRabim if they are, 16 amos wide and Rabim, Shishim Ribui, whatever it is. He says, Abai's explanation follows Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that a public thoroughfare nullifies the partition over which it passes. Okay. So I think he's referring to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that Rabim, Hiluch Rabim, Vatla Mechitzas. All the natural partitions discussed previously, the canyons, the ridges that surround the land of Israel. I think by ridges he means the mountains, I'm not sure. Is the riverbanks surrounding Babylonia, the ocean banks surrounding the continents, were all easily and regularly traversed. And this nullified their validity as partitions. However, the ascents and descents that Abai mentions here, although used by the public, were not easily traversed. Okay. Omale, so Rav Dimi responds to Abai, Kar Kafna, which is an Adam Chashuv, he says. In other words, he's very excited about his interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan. He thinks he hit the target. Is Chazise L'Reshech. I look at your head and I see Be Amude. I can see the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yochanan between the Amudim. Be Amude means Bein Hamudim, between the pillars. Which, by the way, is impossible because Rabbi Yochanan was much, much earlier than Abaye. Ki Omer Rabbi Yochanan lo shmaitita. In other words, when I heard Rabbi Yochanan declare that there's no Rishus HaRabim in Eretz Yisrael, you were there, and I saw you between the pillars. And all this must be allegorical, because again, historically, that can't be. Itmar Nami, and we learned thusly in the Beis Medrash, like Abaye, Ki Asa Ravin, when Ravin came to Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, but because there were two great scholars that brought Rabbi Yochanan's Torah and transmitted it from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, one of them was Rav Dimi, the other was Ravin, the Amri La, Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Malos umorodos shiberet Yisrael ein chayoven alem bishuv mishus haramim lefi she'enom kidigle midbar. Right, the paradigm for Rishus haramim is the Machne Yisrael in the midbar, and the ground was flat and it didn't have these malos umorodos, right, these ascents and descents. Shanan hayaholik lifnei machne Yisrael miyasher sakarka, the great holy cloud would miraculously flatten out the land. V'chol dini hotzol shesaram b'shabes lomdi mimachne Yisrael b'midbar. Ulefichach ein chayoven al hotzol shesaram el bekarka chaloka she'ein ba alios umorados. So you're only chayev for a Rishus HaRabim that's similar to the Machne Yisrael, which was flat, not these ascents and descents. He says, the same halacha of Milos and Morodos that is formulated here by Rabbi Yochanan would apply to Chutzlitz. It's not just in Israel. So why then did Rabbi Yochanan mention Eretz Yisrael? He says, because Be'eretz Yisrael mitsuyin malos umorodos. This is very common, to have these ascents and descents.
Tosus Pirshu Shedino Sharab Yochanan Eino Elabi Eretz Yisrael, that the law of Rabbi Yochanan only applies, it's limited to Eretz Yisrael, but Milos and Marodah Shebechutz Laretz Chayovin Aleihem Mishum Rishus Arab. Kaman Shebekiyas Arabim Mevatelas Es Hamechitza Hainul Rabbi Yehuda. Why doesn't that apply in Eretz Yisrael? I guess because in Eretz Yisrael the slopes are very, very steep, and not too many people are going to be able to traverse them. Ulepirish zeh, mashalom Rabbi Yochanan, lefisha enom kidigle midbar, hainu dekeven shem misurim liyochid, velo l'rabim, enom domim l'shus harabim, shahoy b'midbar. Shekein b'midbar, hayu darko adrochim, misurim l'rabim. All right, so we'll stop here, Rabosai.